Is one rookie wide receiver speed enough for him to make him relevant in the NFL in 2024? What is the proper approach for one AFC West receiver with off the field issues? I think you know who I'm talking about. And what should you make of one big development regarding an AFC North backfield this week? Plus, seven-time FFPC Dynasty League champ Lee Oldenburg is going to hop on by to talk about the 2024 NFL Draft rookies, his thoughts on the changing New England backfield, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men than need a lesson.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man. Nobody ever told me what a man was.
Welcome in, welcome in. Happy April 12th, 2024, ladies and gentlemen. This is the latest edition of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. All you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs, welcome aboard. Thank you to Rob, our producer. Want to give a shout out to my co-host, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. I'll welcome him in shortly. I'm Eric Balkman, obviously, from the FFPC, the Fantasy Football Players Championship, the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, and the Better Sports Network's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show. Coming up on tonight's show, Farrell and I will relinquish our thoughts on the Titans running game, Kenneth Walker's upcoming year, and more before we catch up with seven-time FFPC Dynasty League champion Lee Oldenburg. He's going to weigh in on his top rookie running back this season, an unheralded NFC North wideout, and more. If you want to connect with us on X, please do so at HSFF Hour, at Eric Balkman, and always check out the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Just picked up a KFFSC orphan today. Very excited about that. Over at KFFSC.com. You can post on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/HSFF Hour. Email the show. We'll try to get to the emails as many as we can get to later on in the show tonight. High6FantasyFootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us and want to get your question answered on the air, do it now. We'll try to get to those, the tweets, everything, all your inquiries in the fantasy feedback segment coming up later on in the show. Shout out, already shouted out Rob, but also a shout out to our audio engineer and my best friend, Bryce. Want to remind everybody, in case you missed it, we do have Empire Leagues going on at the FFPC. What are Empire Leagues? It's Dynasty with a twist. Basically, half the pot is set aside every single year. And if any team wins it back-to-back years, they not only take down the normal pot for the season, they also get the entire Empire pot. The league then disbands, and if you stayed in it from the start, you're going to get your deposit back. It is a really, really good deal. We filled well over a dozen leagues already. We're probably coming up on two dozen Empire leagues. So check that out at myffpc.com, which is also the spot to pick up one of the 46 orphan teams we have left. You can check that out over at myffpc.com. Some of them, I mean, they're really all good deals right now. We have some as low as $1, so pick them up. They're basically free for the first year. MyFFPC.com is where to go for that. The Fantasy Pros Championship is live. If you want to draft for $1 million, you don't have to wait till July or August. You can start drafting for that now with the FFPC. The Fantasy Pros Championship featuring a $6 million prize pool with a $1 million grand prize this year. And time's running out. I didn't crunch the numbers before the show, but I know they're both over 90% to capacity, and we only have 13 days left in both the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament and the Never Too Early Superflex Best Ball Tournament. Both of those are going to run until April 25th, unless they fill earlier and they reach capacity, in which case then they will shut down early. They're going to, all these drafts have been going on since January, and they will stop prior to the NFL draft. So everybody is drafting blind as far as the rookies. Nobody knows where anybody's going to end up, except for maybe Caleb Williams. You can win a $25,000 grand prize in the Classic Best Ball Never Too Early Tournament. You can win a $10,000 grand prize with just a $35 entry fee over at the Never Too Early Superflex Best Ball Tournament. Everything I just mentioned can be found found at myffpc.com, myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified every time we go live so you never miss any of the action we have going on with any of the wonderful high-stakes players that we have coming on this program. I'll tell you what we did on Thursday night. It was a fun show on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show, but before I get to that, I want to welcome in my good buddy. You follow him on the X at JFarrellElliott, at KFFSC Official, and of course, KFFSC.com. It is the incomparable, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. Farrell, welcome aboard. We are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, man.
Isn't it fantastic, Balky? And thank you for that nice introduction. And I want to take a moment before we get started. And I want to ask you, how many hours of air have you had this week? How often have you been on the airways talking football this week?
Well, with just strictly fantasy football.
No, everything.
Everything? Okay. Everything I've been on the air. This will be, let's see, my 14th hour on air this week.
It's a fantastic effort that you make. And I want to speak for everyone that shows up in the comments tonight. I'm hoping we hear from Dom. We didn't hear from Dom last week. He's probably watching the girls' basketball. But, you know, it's just a tremendous contribution. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, from all the fantasy players in the FFPC and the KFFSC guys that love you. They say they want to draft against Balky. They want to draft with Balky. But your contribution to fantasy football is without compare, sir.
Yeah, well,
if I had a cap on, I'd tip it to you.
You are way too kind, for sure. And I will say that, too. Like, obviously, as an employee of the FFPC, I can't play in the FFPC, but a lot of FFPC players do play in the KFFSC. And I made a lot of longtime friendships in the KFFSC, and I enjoy – it's a love-hate relationship because I love playing with those people, but I hate competing against them because they are good. But it is so much fun because I have won there before. Plenty of people win in the KFFSC, and it's such a great opportunity to not only draft online throughout the year, but then when we get to go to Cincinnati, when we get to go to Louisville to draft live in August, that's always a great time.
You have trophies with your name on them, sir, and when you don't, two-packer Ron Meyer will let you know.
Yes, he does, every single time. One of the things that we have to figure out for 2024 is how much we are rating speed when we consider that the fastest guy at the combine doesn't always become the best guy in the NFL. I'm talking, of course, about Xavier Worthy. Now, the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Colts are hosting Xavier Worthy, or at least hosted him for a visit today. Now, he broke the 40-yard dash record at the scouting combine last month, 4.21 seconds. He's already visited with the Chicago Bears. The Colts already have Alec Pierce. They have Michael Pittman, but it wouldn't hurt him to add another player on there too. Josh Downs is obviously on that team as well. Xavier Worthy has not yet turned 21, so he's a young prospect, which is what we like to see. 981 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 62 catches this past year. Farrell, I look at a guy like Xavier Worthy, and I do have a little bit of trepidation with him because I know I think about John Ross, however many years ago that was, where he had the combine record blazing, top 10 pick. It was insane. He couldn't miss until he did miss. And I'm worried about Xavier Worthy doing that as well. However, I think the track record for Worthy is a little bit better than some of these speedsters that have just been, a one-trick pony at the combine. Worthy right now, wide receiver 45 at the 9-12 in the FFPC Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament. But let's talk about him from a dynasty angle as well. How do you feel about Xavier Worthy's game translating to the NFL? We know he's got the speed. Does he have enough of everything else?
Redraft and dynasty, you're going to have to overpay to get him. 9-12 is too early for this player before you know his landing spot. And his landing spot does not match up with the quarterback talent that we all love in the league. He needs to be in an offense with a classic dropback quarterback who is fantastically accurate. Now, you can tell me who that is in the league right now. And perhaps you'll start with Aaron Rodgers or but something about this player, when you start talking about him, you don't want to immediately get to what he isn't. Mm-hmm. But whenever I talk to anyone at the combine about him, fantasy players on the phone, whoever, you quickly get to what he isn't. He's not physical. He does not have a tremendous route tree. He's likely to get bullied and defeated in the contested ball. Sometimes, and you see this in college players, when they're not necessarily in on the play, and he's certainly not blocking anyone at that level, he would take some plays off. Mm-hmm. But he is fantastic with creating a separation. Now, where he's going to get in trouble in the NFL is press coverage. If I was representing this player, I would have had him come to the combine heavier, or at least had him at pro day heavier. And if I couldn't do that, I would want to have him on a nutrition program that got his 6'1" frame into camp at least 190 pounds. He's 172 pounds bulky. Yeah. That's hard to stay healthy at that weight in the NFL. It's even harder to defeat some of these very, very physical corners at press coverage. And he doesn't even have to draw like a Xavien Howard or someone like that. Any competent NFL corner who can get physical with him will do it and frustrate him tremendously. And then you think about him at Kansas City. Mahomes starts running around, and this kid just keeps running down the field. And Mahomes could probably get him the ball, but that's not necessarily servicing the quarterback. And if the quarterback doesn't throw the ball right to where he's going to be, hit him right on the spot, he can't break off his route and necessarily go get it. And we could keep talking and talking about this. There are things he does well. He bends well. He comes out. He doesn't lose speed in running his routes. So that's good. But yeah, so I think you, for dynasty players, if you're in on this player, you're in on him for the long haul.
The thing I want to point out here is a little bit of dynasty draft philosophy. If you talk about hitting it big with any dynasty rookie, you are going to hit it big with a player who is going to develop into a number one receiver. Everything you just told me about Xavier Worthy, I wouldn't say cemented my concerns, but sort of reinforced them. To me, I think we're talking about a guy who his speed will keep him in the first round, but we're also talking about a guy who's a complementary player. I don't really ever see this guy developing into a number one wide receiver. We have an historic wide receiver class this year. Why am I wasting time with a guy who's going to go in the late first round strictly because of his speed when he's never going to develop? To your point here, to talk about the rookie receivers that we have in this year's draft, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nambers, Roman Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., they're all going in front of Xavier Worthy, right? Mm-hmm. But then after that, Addie Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, who I'm really starting to like, Troy Franklin, who I haven't made up my mind about, but then Ricky Pearsall, Keon Coleman, who's getting steamed up a little bit. You have Xavier Leggett, who I'll say this about Leggett. I don't like his age, but I see much more likelihood for him to be a number one receiver than Xavier Worthy. Roman Wilson, I could see. Malachi Corley, my goodness, with all the people that are talking up Malachi Corley lately, mother of God. So, like, the thing is, Xavier Worthy is becoming an easy fade for me, not only just in best ball, but in dynasty as well. So I think you make some good points.
A number of players, you know, and you didn't bring up Javon Baker.
Javon Baker's another one. Yeah.
You still won't talk about Jamari Thrash, who's probably a second day player, but is, and you know, Corley, we said Corley first here. If you want to know who Corley is, go look at Deebo Samuel, find out who he is. It's a strong, strong year for wide receivers. Now, general manager goes to his coaching staff, says, we love this guy's speed. Everybody wants to get younger and faster, and this guy's young. You can make the argument that he hasn't grown into his body yet.
That's true.
The receiver coach and the offense coordinator say, you know, man, where could we be in 2 years with this guy? Can you teach him to play wide receiver at the NFL level? And the offense coordinator and the wide receiver coach says, yeah, this is a career-making move for me. Get him in here. So, yeah, it's and you can take that situation that, hey, in 2026, I'm going to get a player like Worthy, and if the lights come on, how fascinating it could be. But boy, he sure would look great when he catches it and scores a touchdown on the highlights of the game, and then you'll look at it and he's got 8.9 points or something.
Yes, exactly. Xavier Worthy, His stat line this year will be either 2 for 43 and a touchdown, or maybe 1 for 11, and that's it. So, yeah, I'm very bearish on him. I'll tell you another guy who is definitely losing steam right now for obvious reasons. Rashee Rice surrendered to police, posted a $40,000 bond. He is facing up to 8 felony charges related to this collision in a street race. He was seen leaving that scene of the crash, but he hasn't been charged with leaving the site of the collision. Both cars that were street racing in Dallas did belong to Rashee Rice, who's entering his second season with the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs could discipline him. The NFL could discipline him. He could miss some regular season action. Now, Farrell, I've talked to many people, and I think that you said this as well. I could be wrong. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But this is a guy that a lot of people were very nervous before this even happened, how high he was going as a fringe wide receiver one. He has fallen, according to Fantasy Mojo, fantasymojo.com, Darren Armani, the godfather of the FFPC, Pros versus Joe's Championship. Make sure you're registering for an account at fantasymojo.com if you are playing in the FFPC. Rashee Rice has tumbled in the never-too-early best ball tournament ADP to wide receiver 22. He is now going at the 407. This is after Diggs. This is after Neighbors. And it's right in front of Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp, and DK Metcalf. Has Rice fallen to a spot in the mid-fourth round at a spot where you want to be in business with them, knowing that, yeah, he's probably going to be suspended, but it may not be a long suspension? Or are you waiting for more shoes to drop, or I guess the second or third shoe to drop here at this point, where you could get even more of a discount on Rashee Rice? How are you feeling about him at this moment?
Availability is the greatest ability, Balky, and I don't think this player is going to be available. I think the league and the union will fight to protect this, but I think the league could be a little proactive here with penalty because of everything that's happened in the last 2 years this kind of nonsense and a player that can't stand prosperity. There's a message that has to be made. I'm so hopeful that this situation will straighten out for the player, but it's going to be a very, very long time before I think we see Rashee Rice being able to focus on football the way he has to be successful.
If that's the case, and I'll bring this up too, the counter argument to that, if you're down on Rashee Rice, should you be interested in Marquise Brown at wide receiver 33 in the mid sixth barrel?
Mm-hmm. And you'll see that the Chiefs will move into this draft with a different idea about wide receiver. And, you know, they tried very, very hard to make it work for wide receivers. It appeared that they had one here. This has to be a bitter pill to swallow for them.
I think so as well. We do have Lee Oldenburg hanging out in the green room. We're going to bring him on shortly. The last thing I'll mention before we bring Lee on is this Cleveland Browns news that they have reworked the contract of Nick Chubb for this coming season. Ian Rappaport reporting on this as well. The base salary was at just under $12 million, but they are giving him the chance to earn all that money back in incentives. Now, he had that really nasty knee injury. It did happen in week 2, so it's been a long time for him to recover, but he's 28 years old. We don't know how his body at 28 years old is going to react to recovering from something like that. And obviously 28, even if he was healthy, Farrell, usually on the wrong side of the hill for running backs in this league. However, it is promising that Cleveland decided to rework this deal rather than just outright cut him. I don't know if they necessarily had an answer at running back behind him, but they weren't very active in free agency. I know they signed Deontay Foreman, but they could have gone after Jacobs. They could have gone after Aaron Jones. They chose not to, and they reworked Nick Chubb's contract. Now, here's the interesting thing. There, all that I say is it's all kind of like, oh, we're down on Nick Chubb after hearing that, Balky. Well, so is everybody else. Running back 38 right now at the 10:02. To give you some idea, that is where Devin Singletary, Gus Edwards, and Chase Brown, of all people, are going. He's going right ahead of Blake Corum and Jalen Wright, a pair of rookies. But, Farrell, I don't know if I've ever seen Nick Chubb going this late in a redraft tournament like he's going right now. I could find room on my roster as a running back 4 for Nick Chubb right now.
I like the way you spell it out, Balky. And he's a player with a lot of gas left in the tank. I love that commentary about, well, we're going to give you a chance to make it back in incentives. You know, general managers, if they ever talk to me about a player being injured, like in this case, I would say, well, he did so in service to the Cleveland Browns. And I just throw that back at them and see what I can get out of that. But, you know, yes. And if you're drafting early like I am, I think you will see that when you hit those double-digit rounds and the names you mentioned to go along with our man Chubb, and the fact that the draft is not full of much depth at the running back position, it gets a little tough trying to find your running backs in these double-digit rounds. So really, in my mind, Chubb is at the very, very bottom of the playable players at the position at this point in time. You know, we don't know who the next Kyren Williams is. So, yeah, get Chubb on your team if you're drafting early. I don't think I'll miss a chance to draft him on one of my three what are those leagues called? The new thing, Spalky? The new
Empire League?
New kind of dynasty? What are we doing?
Empire.
Huh?
Empire.
I'm an Empire guy. I'm an Empire guy. Fair. I'm in three of them right now. I got in one of them that's a best ball. I don't know how the hell I did that. I got to start reading the leagues that I'm joining.
Farrell Elliott is in the Empire business. By the way, Nick Chubb is being drafted as the number one Cleveland Browns running back right now. Jerome Ford is number two, but he's going almost two rounds after Nick Chubb at that 11-12 turn. And then you have Deontay Foreman, the new free agent signing for the Browns, going as running back 58 all the way in the 16th round. Pretty interesting stuff with Nick Chubb. We have much more interesting stuff to get to thanks to the guest that we are bringing on right now. He's cashed in dozens of dynasty leagues over the last few years in the FFPC, bringing home championships in seven of them since 2020. He's here tonight to talk about his number one tight end in dynasty, how high he is on CJ Stroud this year and going forward, and much more. Please welcome onto the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, Mr. Lee Oldenburg. Lee, thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Hey, Balky, thanks for having me. Really appreciate this opportunity. Been a huge fan of the FFPC since I joined several years ago. And what an honor to be on with you and Mr. Farrell. I listened to you guys on the Fantasy Radio show on Sirius XM, and this is quite an honor for me. So I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for having me.
Well, it's exciting to have you on for sure, and you've definitely earned your way on here. Before we get in to your dynasty success, can you tell the viewers what you're doing for a living when you're not winning all these leagues?
So I live out here in Colorado, and I'm an educator. I teach business and marketing at a really small high school, and I'm an assistant football coach, varsity assistant head, and quarterbacks. I coach track and field as well, so I raced back from a track meet today down in Denver to get on the show tonight, which I was fired up about. In fact, my head coach didn't believe me when I told him why I was leaving early, so I had to explain that to him a little bit. And I'm also a DECA advisor, so I do quite a lot there at the school. It's my first year at the high school after a couple years at a middle school where I had some of the same roles. So they tell us a lot as teachers to find your me time and do things for you. And so when I'm not doing planning and game planning and film, I'm on the FFPC all the time. In fact, my wife is like, get off your phone. Who are you texting? And I'm like, I'm not texting. I'm trying to work a trade here. So
yes, trying to work a trade.
That's
There's
it.
No. Yep. How big is your school?
We're 800 kids right now. We've only been in existence for 4 years. So we're
how many kids are on the football team?
We're going to have close to 91 next year.
If a player comes out for your football team, does he get a jersey? Does he play? Do you?
He'll get a jersey. I can't guarantee they're all going to play.
Yeah, in 91. But, you know, hey, look, in high school, if you got a jersey and you're running out on the field, yeah, that's good stuff, man. Congratulations. You know,
thank you.
You learn a lot about football with what we do with fantasy football. Any way that you engage in it, you know, I've had a career in football, and you know, the high school coaches just seem to be having a blast, especially if you can separate yourself from the high school parents. But that's a whole nother conversation. And last year when CJ Stroud came to the league, I was pretty excited. I thought it would be good. I can't believe how good it was. I tried to pick him up everywhere in Dynasty. I couldn't stand myself because I had him on so many teams that I released him from one team. That's a whole 23 touchdowns against 5 picks as a rookie. Now, Stephon Diggs comes in to a situation where you've already got great tools, Dale, Collins, Schultz, you know, Mixon there now. I don't think a lot of listeners are necessarily certain that Mixon caught 50 and 60 balls out of the backfield the last 2 years. He's become a better receiver late in his career. So your thoughts on C.J. Stroud. Can you overdraft him? I don't think you can.
I don't think so either. I mean, as a quarterback coach, I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, last year with Stroud because the Ohio State quarterback trees just never really hit when it came to fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at Haskins and Troy Smith, and I'll go back a ways on some of my comparisons tonight, but the Ohio State guys always made me nervous as a fantasy drafter. And I'll tell you what changed it for me was that championship semifinal with Georgia. You're taking on one of the best teams in the country, and he was shredding them. And I just saw a kid with some confidence that could spin the football. And I got really excited going into draft season last year. And a lot of my teams, I felt pretty confident that I had solid quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the fall. I was able to trade up for him in one of my dynasty leagues in the fourth round. I was able to make a move to get up and grab him in round four of a dynasty. And I've got him on a ton of my teams. And I just, you know, I was backing him up with guys like Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and felt really confident with that. And I could just kind of sit back and see what would happen. And he popped really well. And now I'm kind of hesitant to move him. I've got good depth on my fantasy teams now because of that. But I see a guy there that can ascend ahead of Hurts and Allen and Mahomes just because of the, you know, Mahomes scares me like you guys were just talking about with Rashee Rice. I like Marquise Brown. But there's no targets for him to throw to. Kelsey's at the end of the road. We'll see how that plays out. We'll see what happens with Josh Allen, you know.
Or Mahomes comes to work. It's a full day's work for him. He's working up a sweat from the moment he gets there. You know, it's Stroud. I like his coolness. I thought he might do a little more with his feet last year. He still scored 3 touchdowns. And then I realized he's not that kind of quarterback. So I did a poor scouting job on him in college. Good for you doing the correct
one. Yeah, I was just shocked at his fall.
Yeah, and Lee, I think you took advantage. You saw a player that you believed in that was falling in your drafts, and you snared him. You have a good number of C.J. Stroud shares, and I noticed that you also have a pretty good number of Puka Nacua Dynasty shares in the FFPC as well. Now, I don't know if you get this a lot, but I'm going to ask you, and I'll frame it by saying I don't think there is a Puka Nacua in this year's draft. Nobody is going to be a 4th-round rookie pick, a 7th-round NFL pick, and come in and be one of the best wide receivers in football. It's just not going to happen. However, if there's somebody that could be, if there's somebody that you could see, okay, this guy's being disrespected by a lot of people, I might be able to get him in my 3rd or 4th or maybe even 5th round of my FFPC rookie drafts. I see this guy falling like Stroud did last year. Is there a player that you're kind of excited about from a wide receiver standpoint that you think could put up good numbers in 2024 who's coming into the NFL?
I was impressed with that Washington offense last year, and I think Jalen Polk's that guy for me. 6'2", 215-some pounds. He's a heck of a route runner. He can play X or Z, and he's the guy transferred from Texas Tech, which they're always known for kind of throwing the football around the lot. You're looking at Adunze and McMillan as 2 other guys coming out of that offense. And he's a guy that I've kind of been targeting for late in my drafts that'll start up shortly after, well, obviously in May. He's a guy I really like. And then just to keep the Colorado roots going, Luke McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of starting to rise, but he was an uber athletic kid here, obviously played high school ball as a quarterback in the state, went to Nebraska, things didn't work out, ended up down at Rice. But the bloodlines are there with obviously dad and his older brother, and I just think – he could be the one. Nacua was the perfect storm, just falling into McVay's offense and everything took off. Luke could be the same if he ends up in the right offense with a coordinator that can kind of scheme him open while they continue to teach him the route tree, because that's probably one of his biggest weaknesses. But the athleticism has got to make you a little bit excited with that guy.
Mm-hmm. It makes me that way. I like him as you can see the family influence, the maturity and what he brings, the off-field elements that he brings to the table. I saw him interviewed the other morning on the Kay Adams show, and Kay Adams asked him a question, and he said, "Yes, ma'am, I think so." And she stopped him and says, "You do that, ma'am, again, the interview's over." I really like that. But they got on well. He has just enough personality, and he knew when to pull it back. Too. So that's good stuff. Have you heard of Jamari Thrash, Lee? Have you heard of Juwan Netrebko?
He's one I've heard of a little bit late here in the process. He's an interesting prospect. We'll see.
You'll hear him first. You'll hear him first here. Very, very, very smooth player. He says, Balky says we can't find a Nacua late in the draft, but we should find Jamari Thrash. You know, there's two players you're not going to find in my draft. I'm completely befuddled by these two players, the two running backs. We were talking about how there's not enough running back availability to go along. Yep. I really loved Antonio Gibson in college, and I kind of overdrafted him when he first came out. Ramondre Stevenson, I liked what everybody was saying about him, and I liked what I saw, and I didn't like the landing spots, and then they don't. And now they're on the same team, and that makes me say, okay, well, I can just give up. I don't have to figure it out. But, Lee, I got to figure – you know, I got to think you can figure this out for me and the listeners. Give it a shot. Gibson and
Stevenson. Yeah, I'm really excited for this signing. I'm actually a diehard Patriots fan. That's my squad. So I'm thinking Kevin Faulk.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going back a few years there, but I see a little Kevin Faulk role for him. If you look at Alex Van Pelt's work, too, as he's come in, you know, he started with Green Bay. They had Cedric Benson as their kind of bell cow when Alex was there. And then they kind of sprinkled in Randall Cobb. And they would get him going with some orbit motion, get him out into the flat, let him run some routes that I think Antonio Gibson would be really good at. And then as Van Pelt moved through his system, he went into the Cincinnati system there in 2018, and he had a couple running backs with Gio Bernard and Joe Mixon. And I see Gio Bernard a little bit in that as far as the utilization of Antonio Gibson. And I just think while Belichick's gone, the New England way is still going to be in the building. And with Ramondre being a free agent this season, I think they'll definitely he'll get his carries, especially inside the 10, the red zone area. But I really like what Antonio Gibson can bring to the table. And I kind of think that that was the role they were hoping to get out of Ty Montgomery the last couple of years. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I really like what he'll bring to the table. I mean, talking about a guy 220 that used to play receiver that's a sub 4.4, I'll take that.
Yeah, Gibson, too. He was one of those Memphis guys with Mike Norvell where he was utilizing these running backs as receivers quite a bit in that offense. It's clear you like Antonio Gibson in the early 13th. How do you feel about Ramondre Stevenson in the early 7th as the 21st running back off the board, Lee?
See, I think he's another guy that's just he's dropping. He's got a tremendous value for me right now, and he's a guy I've been kind of targeting in some of my trades too because he's just a guy that you can get fairly cheap. Teams are real hesitant to invest in the Patriots offense, and I don't blame them. But I also, you know, I see the worst wide receiver core there that's in the NFL. So they're going to have to run the ball. I think they're going to probably land either Jaden Daniels or Dre May like we've talked about, like everyone knows, but the best friend for rookie quarterbacks is a good running game. We'll play action, use your tight ends, throw the flats, get those guys up to speed. And that's where I see a pretty good bounce back season this year for Ramondre, just because I think they don't have anything else on that offense. And the best way to protect a rookie quarterback is run the football.
Lee, I'm living in Northeast Wisconsin here. And I'm obviously root for the Packers. Well, not obviously, but I do.
Obviously. No, it's obvious.
It's obvious.
You have to.
Yeah, I was brought up. But like I didn't have a choice. Yeah. One of the interesting things I think about this post-Aaron Rodgers offense, and one of the things we talk a lot about up here with fans is who's the number one receiver for the Packers? Like, who's that? Is it Christian Watson? Is it Jaden Reed? Is it someone else? I seem to subscribe to the theory that they don't necessarily have a number one receiver, and I don't think that's wrong. But part of the thing that we can apply for fantasy purposes is because Green Bay doesn't have a number one receiver, you can get pretty good deals both in redraft and dynasty on some of these other players that are not necessarily heralded as the number one wide receiver. I look at a guy like Dontayvion Wicks, who had a really bad 2022 season in college, and it really sent him down the draft board. He ends up having a pretty good 2023 season for Green Bay in limited time, and people start to take notice. You're one of them. He's not the easiest guy to keep on these shallow FFPC dynasty rosters. You found a way to get it done. Why are you bullish on Dontayvion Wicks going forward?
I just really love this guy's skill set. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's 6'1", 212. He's played the slot before, but in his high school days, he was a quarterback. And I just, again, from my quarterback roots, I like athletes, and this guy's an athlete. And, you know, I love him so much that I kind of got in trouble with a trade through the FFPC because I – dumped Tua Tagovailoa to keep Wicks on my roster.
No.
And it was between Wicks and Tua, and I just felt that strongly about Dontavian. I can't get over the 14.8 yards per catch that he had last year. And it really reminds me of the first 2 years of Jordy Nelson.
Oh.
He didn't really pop, but then in the playoffs, he did. In that 2014 season, Jordy was averaging 15.2 per catch and had become that alpha. And I think that a lot of people have the same. I've heard from some people in the industry and things that I've read that they think Dontavian Wicks could be the number one in that offense and a superstar. And so I love the complementary pieces, too, where you could put him at X, a Jaden Reed in the slot or at the Z. You still got Dubs. You got those tight ends that can work the middle of the field. That's a dangerous offense that I want a part of. And I'm getting Dontavian Wicks right now for 2025 round four picks. Sign me up.
And the last thing I'll say about Wicks, we're going to talk about tight ends here in a second, but had Wicks not had that bad year in 2022, which a lot of it was due to a new offense, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, everything for him, he probably would have been a second-round pick in the draft. And while the Packers probably would not have taken him in the second round, you think about the history of the great second-round receivers that the Packers have had, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, James Jones, I think was a third-round pick, but you mentioned Jordy Nelson. So they know what they're doing in the second round, and Wicks, you know, now we throw draft pedigree kind of out the window after the first year because he's shown what he can do. And this is a guy that we could be really talking up if Christian Watson doesn't get his hamstrings right, if Jaden Reed has a sophomore slump. It could be a big-time Wicks year this year as well. But, Farrell, let's talk tight ends here.
Well, yeah, but, Balky, one more thing about wide receivers. If you truly don't have a number one in Green Bay, you may someday have Stephon Diggs. He may come. He wants to be number one.
Doesn't that make you guys a little nervous, though, with the young rookie coming in and Diggs somewhat seems to be somewhat of a character guy? He didn't really get along in Minnesota. He didn't get along in Buffalo. I'm nervous about him coming in and disrupting what CJ's got with Tank Dell, Nico Collins, like you mentioned, Joe Mixon. That one was I understood the Texans move there. And when you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract, make that move and go. But I sure hope he doesn't disrupt that.
It's the culture. It's your New England. It's your New England general manager who should have kept. You would have liked to have had him. And it is your San Francisco 49er coach. And so you've got those two, and it's the culture that exists there. And we'll see how they handle him.
As long as we're talking about receivers, let me just get this out here right now. I am not totally convinced, based on stuff I've read and stuff I've heard, that this was all Diggs, that Buffalo wanted to get rid of him. I do think that it seems like, and again, I don't want to put this out there, but there have been people who are connected in the industry that said that Stephon Diggs thought his commitment to winning was maybe significantly stronger than Josh Allen's, where Josh Allen was maybe a little bit more caught up in the celebrity aspect of being a stud quarterback in the NFL. So that could be something as well. I think it was Joe Biscaglia had this for The Athletic. Don't quote me on this. It could have been somebody else that said after they blew that game on Monday night, week one, when Aaron Rodgers went out, Josh Allen told Stephon Diggs, relax, it's one game. And that was the only guy he said that to in the locker room. So I don't want to put this all on like, oh, Diggs is malcontent, which we know that there is that there. But I do think that Diggs, and especially the other thing too, with Houston erasing the rest of his contract, he is in a contract year. And he is coming up on the end of like maybe his last contract that he's going to get in the NFL.
That's
true. The onus is on Diggs, right? The thing is, if you want to win and you want to get paid, it is on you now, Stephon Diggs. You have to make it happen. You have an all-world quarterback. You got plenty of other guys on that team, Schultz, Dell, and Collins, to take pressure off you. No excuses. If you don't get it done this year, it's kind of on you, man. That's the last thing I'll say about it.
And he might have found just this competitor, the competitor he's looking for in C.J. Stroud. So
yes.
That might be the perfect match.
And that's the culture. And he might want to make a name for himself. Look here, I took this young quarterback and helped him become something, he can fit. But, he could fit there with Balky in Green Bay. Just want to throw that out there. You know a guy you'll never see playing in Green Bay? Detroit Lions tight end LaPorta. They're not letting that guy get away. And they're not letting down in a fellow Coloradoan for you, Lee, they're not letting Trey McBride ever get away
down
in Arizona. So here's, you know, so you've had a great year playing fantasy football in Dynasty. My Dynasty is a work in progress, and I'm getting there. I'm proud of them. All the way from $77 to $500. I'm proud of them. But one of the most enjoyable things I had last year is I had a team that it wouldn't do anything, and I kept playing around with it, but it didn't make the playoffs. Then it was amongst the teams that didn't make the playoffs, and in great FFPC rules, I was able to compete to get the draft spot, and I ended up with the number one spot, and I was real proud of that because the team started playing like I thought they would. And so I go over there and look at that number one spot every few days just to look at it, you know, see that.
Right. Right.
Made me feel good. And then this week, a guy came knocking on the door for my number one spot. And he's offered me a bunch of things that were attractive, but I didn't want to give up that one spot. But his tight end was Laporta. And I made a deal with him that I would take Laporta and his second round pick, 2-9 or something like that, in exchange for my number one spot. Mm. Did I make the right deal?
No.
Okay. You know, now I do like my wide receivers, but okay. You know, I'm willing to buy that because I do like my wide receivers. So I'll go further in talking about Mr. Laporta because I think in the FFPC, where I'll remind you, you get 1.5 per reception.
That's correct.
He caught 86 passes last year, mm-hmm. and he did it all year long. Four games, he was a double-digit target. Goff threw 30 touchdowns. He caught 10 of them. Are you saying I'm going to have a sophomore slump?
I'm saying regression, regression, regression. I mean, like you mentioned, those numbers are historic for a rookie tight end. Usually that's a position that takes time to develop. Jameson Williams is coming on as that deep threat. Amon-Ra handles a lot of the same route tree that a tight end does. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys I'm really excited about, and I can't get any shares, and rightfully so, is Jahmyr Gibbs. He's coming on as that pass-catching running back. I see him eating into a little bit of what Laporta can do. Mm-hmm. Now, Goff likes him. He reminds me a lot of when Tom had Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. But I just cannot fathom that those numbers are going to be sustainable like they were last year. I mean, what a historic season.
We're going to make a little side bet. We're going to make a little side bet. And we'll discuss that later off the air this week.
Because the comparison is let's see. McBride, right?
About McBride because we're comparing them. And McBride was my draft pick on all formats last year. I drafted him in front of Laporta. And you know, I think they're equal talents, equal production.
Absolutely equal talents. This is a guy, though, I'm fired up for. Kyler loves him. I do think that Arizona probably is going to land Harrison Jr. or Neighbors. Mm-hmm. And right now what the league is doing to combat these deep threats is either cover two or cover four schemes. And when you get those two high safeties, McBride was just – CSU can put out some tight ends now, and he can run the seams and the posts and split those safeties. And, you know, I was in an argument with my brother the other day. We see 100 catches from him this year.
He spent the first five games underneath the wing of Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
You know, his numbers, 81 catches, were not from a full participation standpoint. So I would say if he doesn't get 100, I would be disappointed. But I look.
And with Rondale Moore gone, that, you know, even when they bring in the rookie, who else is there?
With Rondale Moore gone, no one will notice. Okay. Now, 100.
Gone. I mean, they'll bring in some help. But again, young kids got to be developed. You never know about draft day trades. But I'm really fired up for McBride, and I'm not trying to minimize Sam Laporta at all. I think
he's a tremendous player,
and I'm glad to have him. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous about the regression because that I don't think he's hit his ceiling, but man, he's pretty darn close.
Yeah, don't live in fear on the Detroit tight end. But you're right. So McBride is your guy
for this upcoming season.
Trey, I'll tell you what.
And I'm excited because I have two of my dynasty teams. I've actually got McBride and Laporta, and they are just going to sit nicely in my utility spots there. And I am fired up to surround them with some other high-volume pass catchers. And
in some places, that would call for an investigation. Not at the end.
We guys, we've been talking a lot of good wide receiver talk, a lot of just obviously some good tight end talk. Let's talk about rookie running backs here for a second. Lee, I'll ask you this because this year I think it's kind of a wide open thing. As good as a wide receiver class as it is, the running back class is it's okay, but it's not great. Some would say bad. I don't think it's bad, but it's not great, which makes me think like, okay, there are a lot of different opinions on who the best running back in this class is. I've heard Jonathan Brooks. I've heard Braylon Allen. I've heard Trey Benson. I'll put you on the spot right now. Who's your top running back in this year's class?
My top running back, I like Xavier Brooks from Texas, but he makes me nervous coming off of that injury. I'm not really high on any of those. I'm not high on Benson or Brooks in the second or first round of any of the drafts, and I started looking at the FFPC ADPs, and Brooks is going at 7 right now. That feels too high for a kid coming off ACL. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wanting to fall back with this running back class. I really like a couple guys that I think could go undrafted in the NFL draft, but if they end up again in the right situation, and that's Dylan Lobb and Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah.
Those are two guys that I really, really like. And you're just seeing the NFL shift to these two running back sets where you got the hammer and then you got the thunder behind it that can catch the football. And I'm kind of a sucker for some of the hometown dudes, but Dylan Lobb reminds me a lot of Danny Woodhead, a Chattanooga State kid, played in New England. He's a good pass catcher. He's quick. He's not necessarily straight line fast, but I like a guy like that that can be a check down dude if he ends up in the right offense. Kind of reminds me of Chase Brown last year, Illinois to Cincinnati, kind of that role. And Tyrone Tracy's a guy I don't know if a lot of people have heard from. He didn't have a big role at Purdue, but he's just another one of those guys, kind of the Kenneth Gainwell mold, that just finds a role. They'll start him on special teams, and then they'll get him out there, and he'll make plays. And so those are two guys I'm targeting that I'm pretty excited about that I think I can probably get fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth round. I just would rather spend some of my draft capital that way rather than kind of reach for running backs. And I've tried to do this offseason, set my teams up so I don't have to chase running backs in the upcoming dynasty drafts.
What's your balance of dynasty and redraft leagues?
So I've got my 13 dynasty leagues on the FFPC, and then I do the Players Championship, and that's been the one right now that's really eluded me. I've just had some buzzard luck there, and I've got 3 home leagues that I play in, one with some friends, one with some friends of friends, and then a work one. And I swept all 3 of the home leagues this last year, and so I appreciate that. So it was a really – I had a really good year, and I don't know if it'll ever be replicated, but I'm in about 16 leagues overall, and I cashed in over 10 of those.
Well, we've got to keep that same ratio, but increase the numbers. And, you know, I don't know if you read the fine print on Balky's outreach, but once you do the show, you have to give up your home league. So, we're expecting you in the – are any of those guys listening tonight?
No, I wasn't able to put that together. In fact, my brother, and he's a pretty big player in all of this, I sent him the question list today, and he was like, well, I helped you with all of that anyway. And I'm like, no. I'm really excited to get the dynasty season started. I'm trying to really figure out the Players Championship, and I want to try to get my goals in the next couple of years. I want to do a draft in Vegas out there with the FFPC, and I hope to someday be able to do a pros versus Joes. So,
well, when you get there, moving forward.
Well, I'll tell you this too.
When you get there, you'll have.
Go ahead, Farrell.
Oh no! I was going. I wanted to ask more tight end questions.
Well, before you get to that, just real quick, 2 things. Number one, when you come out to Vegas, your first drink's on me when you're drafting a main event out there for sure, Lee. So that is going to happen. And then the other thing, just regarding Tyrone Tracy, this is a guy that I was not well versed in a couple of weeks ago. And then I wanted to say it was one of the Player Profiler podcasts, and Cody Carpentier was on there. And I believe he has Tyrone Tracy as his number 5 running back in this year's class, which is pretty crazy for a guy who's probably going to go on day 3. But that kind of what's the Ray Romano thing from Saturday Night Live? I don't know about you, but my peenie just went, oh, you know. And then we have to look at Tyrone Tracy here in our dynasty drafts, right? So now he's probably going to move up a little bit. We'll see where the landing spot is. But we don't have to worry about him on Friday. We don't have to worry about him on Thursday. But, Farrell, there is a tight end that we're probably going to be thinking about on Thursday. At least I think he's going to be going on Thursday.
Yeah, and the only team you won't be looking at him for is your Laporta McBride team. Although you might, you know, dual flex and all.
Right.
Let's go down to the SEC where all the champions come from, and let's talk a little bit about Brock Bowers.
What a player. I mean, what do you
know? Okay, so I don't remember this buzz about McBride and Laporta, but can this player be better? Can this player be as productive? I guess it's landing spot determinant, but if somebody drafts him, they've got in mind to play him because he's going high.
Mm-hmm. I've actually moved up in a couple of my dynasties to target him. I think right now he is going to drop in fantasy and NFL drafts. There's a couple of things working against him. His, I don't know if you saw that combine photo of him next to Gronkowski, but there was a real outcry to that as far as his size. And can he hold up in line as a blocking tight end and all that? I'm not sure that's a guy that you need to have do all that. His athleticism trumps anything that I've seen, including Kyle Pitts. And I think Kyle Pitts is the reason why his fantasy owners will be nervous to draft him. And I don't think Kyle Pitts did anything wrong. Arthur Smith just doesn't know how to utilize his weapons. Drake London as well. That was another guy that's burned me over the years. But I'm excited for what Brock Bowers can do in the league. And I'm just really hoping as a Patriots fan, he doesn't end up with the Jets. I'm kind of hoping at nine that I just like what he could do for the Bears, even though they have Cole Kmet and they've got DJ Moore. And what's a new quarterback's best friend other than a tight end that can run the seams and the dregs with his athleticism? And then there's a part of me, too, that I just think if the Bengals could come up and grab that guy, and if you could put Brock Bowers in Cincinnati's offense, watch out. I think Joe Burrow's a guy, if you're asking me, someone that you can kind of just along those same lines as C.J. Stroud. It'd be Joe Burrow for me this year. And I just I'm really – that's just something I'm kind of hoping they might come up, snag him, and I think they'd have one of the most impressive offenses in the league as well as for fantasy that I think Jamar would be opened up. Whatever is going to happen with T will happen. And I like that Iosevis kid last year from Princeton. He's starting to come on. And they've got some players there. And I think that that'd be a tremendous fit if he slides past Indianapolis at 15 here in a couple weeks.
And he would be more productive than Irv Smith. Ooh, but that, I tell you, that lines up really good with the Jets, doesn't it?
It does. That's my fear at 10. But they need a tackle. And you really want to build inside out. So take a tackle, New York.
So I'll mention this right now, and this is a PSA to everybody who likes Brock Bowers out there. I did not know about this combine photo with Bowers and Gronkowski until you mentioned it, Lee, and I just looked it up.
Check it out.
I saw it right now. So as a PSA for anybody who likes Bowers, change your profile picture on social media to this picture. Make sure this is circulating on your draft boards, or on your message boards in your leagues. Because Brock Bowers in this photo looks like the guy who was the best friend of the stud athlete in high school. Or he looks like the guy who is the trainer for these players, for Rob Gronkowski.
he's the bride, right?
And he looks old. I mean, Gronkowski's probably got, 10 years on him? Maybe 12 years? Yeah. Bowers looks like he's about 15 years older than Gronkowski, too.
But with the hair and everything, he looks completely lost and confused. And you're like, that's a transformational tight end. I don't think so. But that's him.
You know, honestly, what he looks like, and this will date me a little bit, but I don't care. He looks like a more muscular butthead from Beavis and Butthead. That's kind of what he looks like. And obviously, he's got the Beavis hair, but he looks like Butthead with the black shoes. I still like him. This photo is not going to affect
that picture
me.
Out. Let him fall to me in Dynasty Drafts.
That's sort of like, because I like him. I like Bowers. I'll tell you that right now. So I want this picture circulated. It's funny because you Google Brock Bowers, Rob Gronkowski, and then there's these other pictures that show Brock Bowers on the field with the muscle flexing and the calves. Like, you know, so, I mean, like there are – this is just not a flattering picture for Brock
Bowers. Not at all.
Whatsoever. No.
And there were a ton of things I started looking at. Just all of a sudden people were like, whoa, this – And I noticed you just kind of flashed a question on the screen about him kind of doing a caller had a question on, Bowers tape with the dump offs.
Right.
I don't disagree with that, but the fantasy points for the yards after catch matter, right?
Yes.
So I'll take dump offs from a guy.
The catches matter too.
Yeah. The catches. And I'll take dump offs from a guy. I mean, as a guy that used to play quarterback and coaches quarterbacks, I tell my guys all the time, take the 3-yard throw to the flat and let your guy run at 80 yards. The stat sheet says you just threw an 80-yard touchdown pass. Nobody needs to know, you know. That's great for you. So
take what the defense is giving you. Yeah. Yep. You know, and you bring something interesting about Chicago with the big tight end Komet. That what a great combo as we were could return.
I just think when you saw what New England did in those late 2010s, 2011s, when they did the Gronkowski, and I know the Hernandez thing, totally opened up their offense. And I just think with the skill sets of what Caleb Williams can do, and I just have a hunch someone's going to come up and grab Rome Odunze before he falls to 9. Man, if you could pair Komet with Brock Bowers as a move tight end, Komet can stay more in line. You can do some things with those guys. You've got DJ Moore on the outside. I love what they can do with DeAndre Swift now. Yeah. That's an offense that would be worth buying into. And watch out if that happens. So that's something else that I'm just probably wishful thinking, but it would be interesting to see if you could get Brock either in Chicago or Cincinnati.
All right, let's
fantastic thing. Probably wishful thinking for the Bears.
Well, okay, you want to talk wishful thinking. Let's do this, guys, because, Lee, you alluded to this, and I've been reading more and more about this, that there could be a Brock Bowers slide in the NFL draft. And God forbid, and have mercy on us all, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if Brock Bowers falls all the way to 32, where the Chiefs grab him, and they have one, maybe two seasons of Kelce and Bowers until Bowers takes over, and then you have Mahomes with the second half of his career, not throwing to Kelce anymore, but throwing to Brock Bowers, mother of God.
Would you have to consider, if that does happen, Bowers at 1.01?
So here's the thing.
In 1.5 PPR.
Right.
I love Marvin Harrison Jr. as a prospect. And this is a guy that I just traded Puka Nacua in one of my leagues to get 1.02, and I was able to parlay that into 1.01.
Well, now that was crazy.
Targeting Marvin Harrison. If I can get into that trade, I could talk about that in a little bit. But, man, if Bowers goes to Kansas City, that's got to change the thinking on that right away.
It totally does.
With Rice, there's nothing else there.
Yes, and John Terry brings this up in the chat, too. Bowers and Kincaid and Buffalo. Dawson Knox is like, please don't let it happen. I don't want that. But if this happens, number one, I don't know what the cutoff is. Like, if he slides past 17 or 18, then do the Bills move up or do the Chiefs move up or somebody like that to grab him? So he's not lasting until 32. But if he does slide a little bit, somebody is going to come up and get him based on, this is a guy we were talking about in Dynasty Leagues last year. We couldn't wait for Brock Bowers to get to the NFL. And now he's here. And now we're like, okay, who's going to get butthead on their team this year?
And Kincaid's another guy I absolutely love this year.
Yes.
I was targeting him before the Diggs trade. He was impossible to get. People picked up on that quick, and the FFPC users are tremendous players. What I love about this league is the competitive level of it. There's never a ripoff or the guy that, everybody knows their stuff, and that's what's awesome with it. And Kincaid was another one that I absolutely loved going into this season as a guy to target, but it's Khalil Shakir right now, and it's Dalton Kincaid in Buffalo, and I'm hearing some rumors that Buffalo might make a run up, like I said, for either Odunze or Neighbors, and that's going to cost them. But
yes,
they're in a win now mode, and they've got to get some playmakers on that team. So it's possible.
Farrell, let's do this. I'm going to eschew the emails here tonight because we're running up against it. Let's do one final question for Lee tonight here. Our favorite question.
Okay. Yes. And I will preface that with saying that you, Lee, must get the link to this show and distribute it to all your buddies that play in your home leagues, because we've talked about some all pro players here, but you have been an all pro guest. So it's very important.
Thank you.
Do not let the listeners down, especially guys like John Terry, who are struggling to make decisions, guys that you need to talk. Now, you don't want to let the listeners down. We want you, a positive guy that you are, that see the value in all players. I want you to tell us somebody to completely avoid. And then you've already spilled the beans on a lot of players you absolutely love, but you're going to have to add one you haven't talked about tonight. And maybe that one can be a deep sleeper. You've already given us one. But I don't know. Take it away. First one, we're going to go negative first, and then we're going to come in with something that people just must have.
The guy I'm trying to sell right now is my guy, Puka Nacua. I just think that he's hit that ceiling. You're talking about a guy that came in against all odds. I love his playing style out of the slot. He makes me nervous for injury. And I just see negative regression this year. And the thing for me is when you start talking trades, I love how some of our users, they're so the Dynasty Pros trade chart, and then you've got KTC, and that's like the Bible, that's the gospel. But trades are kind of, players are valued by the market that they're trading in. Mm-hmm. And I started right after that Detroit playoff game when he went off, and I tried to get some feelers on what the value of him was. Not a number on a thing that's saying he's worth 67 points and all that, but his true value in our markets. And people were real cold on him. He was tough to get moved. I tried to move him for Jahmyr Gibbs. I tried to move him for some other pieces, and I couldn't get him moved. And that got me a little nervous about the fantasy community and what they had thought about Puka. And so I wonder if you're buying at his ceiling. There's no room for him to do much more than what he's done. I think Cooper Kupp is probably at the end, but he's still going to take targets. And I wouldn't be surprised if they add more weapons to that offense this year. And you talked about Kyren Williams as well. So Puka's a guy that scares me. And I'm not saying sell, but if the right deal's there, and I got the right deal last week, a guy came in, he had orphaned a team, didn't have a receiver group. He offered me 1.02 straight up. I really spent some time on that. I really like Malik Nabers out of LSU, but yeah. I'm nervous if he goes to the Giants. Who's throwing him the ball?
Right.
I knew Marvin Harrison most likely going number one. Could I take Bowers at two? Depends where he falls. I took the deal, and then 3 days ago I got offered 1.01 for 1.02 and a couple of picks next year, and I felt like being able to move off of Puka Nacua to land either Harrison Jr., I felt like that was a pretty darn good move. And in that scenario, I'm going to go ahead and make that move. Mm-hmm. So on the rest of my teams, Nacua right now is either wide receiver 3 for me or wide receiver 4. So I can live with that drop off if it were to happen, which I think it will. So I'm okay with that because he's not the primary pass catcher on my roster. So he's one that I'm a little nervous about. And if you can get a King's Ransom for him, I would highly recommend that fantasy users go that route. And then for me, my other guy, and I just traded, it was a package deal, but I'm targeting Brian Robinson Jr. from the Commanders. People are nervous about Austin Ekeler there. I love the fact that you've got Cliff Kingsbury coming in there. He's going to run that offense like he did in Arizona. And I look at Brian Robinson Jr. as James Conner, a guy that's going to be a bell cow. I think Austin Ekeler is not necessarily done, but I see his role as just being limited to third down and passing down work. I think that guy's going to get the rock. Chris Rodriguez doesn't scare me. And I actually was able to package Christian McCaffrey in one of my leagues for Brian Robinson, 1.03, and Dalton Kincaid.
Oh.
And I thought that was a pretty darn good deal for me, as I had just traded TJ Hockenson prior to that for a first-round pick. And with Hockenson coming off that major injury, I needed a tight end. And I just felt like that was a tremendous deal. And I think Brian Robinson's a guy that I've got on a couple teams that I wish I had more of.
We're going to have to stop you here. We're going to have to edit out the last 2 or 3 minutes, so nobody else is going to ever make a deal with you again. You know, you're going to have to go in, change all your team names and all your hands. I mean, you're done. Balky, I don't think we have ever had a guest just throw it out there and just give up all the secrets.
It's just the teacher in me. I'm transparent, right?
Right.
I'm an educator. So
the regression thing says that when you leave education, you ought to get in the music business. I met John Oates, who was telling a story. He said, well, you know, after our first record, they said, oh, you guys will never have one like that again. You'd be great in the music business. Like, that guy will never do that again. But look, you know, you might be right because our Laporta McBride Brett or Laporta versus our 2024 Laporta versus 2023 Laporta bet is on. We got to talk this week because there's a NFL quarterback coach that I want to introduce you to. So you got to get, we'll go from there.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that. And
I think the best, like the takeaway we have tonight, and I mean, there's been a lot of takeaways, but the thing I leave with, at least you had Puka Nacua in what, the fourth, fifth, sixth round of your FFPC?
I got him in fifth and sixth rounds last year.
Fifth and sixth. So you took basically a fifth or sixth round rookie pick last year, and now you have the 101 in drafts this year in a talent rich. And like, who's to say that, like, maybe somebody knocks your socks off for the 101 and you parlay that 101 into something else. Like, we still got 13 days before the start of the draft. Something crazy could happen.
And this is a team that I've got Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra, and AJ Brown as my wide receivers 1, 2, and 3. So
it's filthy.
I've got some things that I can do there. And there's a part of me thinking I can maybe trade down, and I'd love to add Bowers to that mix because I just have Jake Ferguson, who's a pretty good tight end too. But yeah, so
elite talent over everything else, and you've certainly acquired a lot of it. We got some elite talent on the show tonight. Lee Oldenburg, the 7-time FFPC league champion and educator, bringing the state of Colorado into the next century with everything you're doing, both in the classroom and on the gridiron out there. Lee, thank you so much for making us a part of your Friday evening. We wish you nothing but the best of luck, and hopefully we'll see you in Vegas real soon.
Yes, thank you, guys. What a dream to be with you tonight, and an honor, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
Thanks,
Love
Lee.
The show, and thank you. We'll stay in touch.
You got it. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks,
be good.
Guys. Take care.
We'll see you. Lee, that's Lee Oldenburg, ladies and gentlemen, the pride of the state of Colorado, hopping aboard the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight. So much stuff that I wanted to get to, once again, that we didn't get to, but that's okay because we'll save it for next week. We want to get into this Titans running back situation. We want to talk about Kenneth Walker. And Farrell, this is interesting because next week will be our last Friday show prior to the NFL draft on the 19th, because we will be doing a show Wednesday, the 24th, as sort of our NFL draft preview show. And that's going to be a lot of fun because this is going to be one of the most anticipated NFL drafts in recent memory. Well, they're all really anticipated, but we could see 8 skill position players going in the first 10 picks of this draft, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, it's a big deal for fantasy.
It's going to be awesome for fantasy. It's going to be awesome no matter what. We will continue to register for leagues at kffsc.com. Very excited about that new Dynasty Orphan I just picked up there, because it sounds like a very good team, and it sounds like it's not a Lee Oldenburg-esque team, but I will strive to get it to that level at some point.
We need to give a message to Lee's wife that when he's working on the phone to encourage it, because obviously he's doing some great work there.
Yes.
You know, he's tapping that out and getting some things.
Look, my wife is a teacher. I know how much they make. He is making a lot more in the FFPC right now, clearly.
Well, you know, and Colorado, they've got Lee, and they've got Prime Time, and they've got Coach Payton, and they got some things going on in that state.
The Broncos and the Vikings are the two teams I'm most interested in to see what they do as far as a trade or as far as quarterback goes on Thursday night, the 26th. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I will be talking with you about it over the course of these next 2 weeks. KFFSC.com is where to register for not only all the drafts you have on there, but especially the main event, the live main events going on in Cincinnati and Louisville as well. At KFFSC official on the X, and of course, KFFSC.com is where to go. Thank you, Farrell. We will talk with you again next Friday, man.
See you then.
That is Farrell Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. I want to thank him. I want to thank our guest tonight, Lee Oldenburg, and, of course, the FFPC, Rob Bryce, and each and every one of you for watching, streaming, downloading. We will be back next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. 8-time FFPC Dynasty winner Daniel Flamholtz will join us to talk about the rookies this year and what he's doing to prep his teams for the rookie drafts, which will be coming up in less than a month over at myffpc.com. In case you missed last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football show on the Better Sports Network, check it out on any of the BSN or FFPC socials or at betternetwork.com. I was joined by football guys Bob Harris for 2 hours. What an awesome opportunity for everybody who checked it out, who listened, who watched. Bob Harris, the Hall of Famer in the FSWA, and I got to pick his brain for quite a while. It's always fun, and I know Farrell and I have been playing fantasy football for forever, but Bob started playing fantasy in the mid-80s, and he brought a lot of expertise not only on how the game has evolved, but how you need to be taking advantage of how the game is right now in order to sustain success and win championships at the high-stakes level. Check out the Empire Leagues and Dynasty Leagues over at myffpc.com. We got the Fantasy Pros Championship and the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournaments, both of them more than 90% full. They will be selling out here shortly. If not, you only have 13 days left to draft, because April 25th, that contest locks, and you won't be able to take out any more championship teams in that contest. So myffpc.com is where to register for that. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on it, share it with your friends and your enemies, and get notified every time we go live. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Really appreciate it. We'll be back next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time with Daniel Flamholtz. We'll talk with you then. Oh, your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Hey, by the way, I just forgot to tell everybody, I meant to mention this with Farrell on the air, but Farrell is making me watch the movie Molly's Game, which I've never seen before. He says it's awesome. The people I've talked to said, it's all right. It's good. It's okay. Nobody's been overwhelming with that. So I'm going to try to watch Molly's Game, and I'll give you my movie review next week. So stick around for next Friday's show. We'll be talking about Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Jessica Chastain. Where are you going to get that? The answer is nowhere else. Check out High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern for movie reviews and NFL draft analysis. Be good, everybody. Talk with you then.